Welcome back to another episode of Tell Me Sis podcast featuring your two favorite sisters,
Alex
and Kyla.
Happy Friday and happy belated birthday.
Oh, I was like, it is my birthday, yeah. But I guess because, yeah, it's going up in a few days. Thank you.
How do you feel?
I feel good. I'm 31 and I honestly like being in my 30s.
30s are the best decade. Yeah. I've talked to so many women and they say it just gets better as you get older, like in so many ways.
Yeah. I think that it's easy to, like, it's normal to be scared of getting older, especially when you're so young, because you just think that, like, the best years of your life is when you're, like, a kid or, like, you know, in your 20s and you don't have all these responsibilities and stuff. But there's way more positives about getting older.
And you only realize that as you get older, too.
Exactly. Like, you have people telling you that are older, but you never really believe it.
Yeah.
Until you're actually, like, getting older. Yeah. And you realize, like, actually, like, for me personally, I would never want to go back to my 20s.
No, not for me. I just realized we have that fan on.
Let me go turn it off.
Okay, hold on, guys. 2 seconds. I remember the first time I heard someone say that was in the Sex and the City movie. Remember when she was like, your 20s are for, like, making mistakes, your 30s are for having fun, and your 40s are for picking up the check or something like that, you know? And even the Kardashians, they always say, like, it just gets more and more fun as you get older because you become obviously more sure of yourself. You're more mature. You're more financially independent. You, like, just know what you want in life and there's no room for bullshit. And it is also such a privilege to age.
Yeah.
You know?
And you also get, like, more comfortable in your own skin. Yep. So, like, for the most part, you're not really as, like, affected by, like, things that shouldn't really matter. I feel like when I was in my 20s, I was still, like, very unsure of myself. Mm-hmm. It was, like, a huge roller coaster, honestly. And I made a lot of mistakes, but I also learned a lot of things. I did a lot of growing. And I think that now that I'm 31, it's not that I think that, like, I still have a lot of growing to do. Like, 31 in the grand scheme of things is so still young. Very young.
It is.
I know that, like, eventually, you know, I'll probably hopefully make it to my 50s and look back on when I was 31 and be like, wow, I was still so young. Mm-hmm. I still had so much to learn. But I definitely feel like I'm at a point now in my life where, like, I know, I mean, I'm still learning a lot about myself, but there's just certain things that I would never tolerate
anymore. And I think that just gets easier with age.
Yeah. And, like, yeah, you're more financially stable. Mm-hmm. You know, you appreciate things more. You're a lot more mature, emotionally mature, at least for me. Well, because I know that, like, some people, like, I mean, it's different for everyone. I can't talk for everyone. But, I'm definitely a lot more sure of myself. That's something that I'm realizing.
There's a podcast I listened to with Kristen Cavallari. I feel like I've mentioned her a few times, but she was on the show Laguna Beach that I loved when I was a kid. And she's 37 now. And she got divorced 3 years ago. She has 3 kids. And she's, like, in the dating world.
And how old is she?
37.
Okay.
And it's interesting because, like, listening to her dating stories and stuff, because she was like, I was with my ex-husband when I was 23. We, like, got married really fast. We had kids really fast. And, like, I kind of just was in that for so long. And now that I'm in my mid to late 30s and I'm experiencing, like, dating, and she goes, typically the people I date are, like, in their 30s, like, usually early to mid 30s. But she's like, I know, like, I'm having fun, but I know that I eventually want to find love again because I'm such a big fan of love. And to me, you know so much more of, like, what you want when you're older.
Yeah.
And you don't settle for, like, the littlest things. It's like, nope, I've been there before. I've done this before. I don't want to do this again. I know what I want now. I'm so sure of myself now that if there's any kind of little thing that I feel like, obviously, you can't be too extreme with that.
No, exactly.
But, like, you know, realistically, if it's like, okay, no, that's a pretty big red flag for me, I don't even want to, like, do this anymore. Like, there's just no point in it.
There's just no, like, patience for bullshit.
Exactly. Kind of thing.
Especially because you have so much more experience and you understand, like, you could pick up on signs of someone who, you know, just really wouldn't be for you quite soon. And it, there's just less patience for it. So it's a lot more like, this isn't for me, like, goodbye, like, on to the next kind of deal. Or not on to the next, but just like, you're not for me.
Yeah, exactly. And it only gets better with age. And I know there's like this big, I don't know if it's a stigma or like a judgment that a lot of people have of like being single in your 30s. In your 30s, it's like, well, there has to be something wrong with you. And it's like, why would you think that?
People that have that kind of mentality, though, are most probably the people that are most likely to be the people that settle, for one. Mm-hmm. And second, are more like they, I'm again, like, I don't want to like generalize, but like that person also not only is like most likely to settle, but doesn't like, isn't open-minded. Doesn't understand that there's more to life and to the world than like what they know and think. Yeah.
And also, people choose to be single.
Yeah. Some people don't even want to like, be with someone.
But let's say you do want to be with someone, but you're choosing to be single because you're not wanting to settle.
Yeah, which is my case.
So it's like, there's nothing wrong with you. It's just that you're not just going to be with anyone to be with someone so that you can settle down, have kids or whatever, because society tells you you need to.
Exactly. And I also feel like I'm at a point in my life where, yes, I'm still young, but like I am 31. And so for me, the next relationship I go into is going to have to be with someone that I could really see myself spending the rest of my life with.
Yeah.
Because I do want marriage. I do probably want like one or two kids.
Yep.
And like those two things right there and like buying a house with someone is a huge deal.
Yeah.
Because if you end up with someone because you just don't want to be alone anymore or you are just accepting behavior that's not healthy, even if you love the person, you're not going to be happy, and it's going to be 10 times worse down the line or down the road when you, you know, have a marriage, have a home, and have children with someone, because you can't just get up and leave. I mean, like, you can, but there's, it's a lot more difficult. There's a lot more, I mean, yes, it's a process to get a divorce and to, like, you know, go through everything financially and when you have a house and everything. But let's say you have kids, it's like you also know that like it will have an effect on your children as well.
Yeah. And it sucks because I feel like there is such a big amount of pressure for people to feel like they need to be in a relationship and like start having kids, because it's like we have this internal clock as women and it's blah, blah, blah. Like men can have, can literally get women pregnant when they're in their 70s, but women obviously have until their 40s to get pregnant. But it's like, but why are we rushing?
That's the thing. And like, you know, I've done so much, like I went through a phase where I was like feeling really lonely and like almost had this victim mentality, and I wanted someone, I wanted like to find my person so bad. And like these last few months, I've just realized that like, do I, like, it's kind of hard to put into words, but I just kind of got to a point where I was like, if it happens, it happens. And if it doesn't, then it doesn't. Like, at the end of the day, I just want to be happy. And I think the worst thing that could happen to me is to
settle.
And, like, I would so much rather be single.
Yeah.
And, like, honestly, being single is so much fun. I know one day I will end up with someone.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna look back on my single days and be like, wow, I took those days for granted.
Yeah, well, that's literally what Kristen said. Is she was like, I fucking love being single. She's like, I know eventually I want to be with somebody because I just know that for myself, but I'm loving being single.
Yeah.
It gets, there's just so much more time for yourself. And like, it's kind of like you said too, Kai, like it's a big thing to think of too, like you're gonna be living with someone else.
Yeah.
For the rest of your life.
And for me, that's, I'm very much a person that likes my alone time. I'm way more independent than like I just, for me, it's like, I like my space. I like my alone time. I'm not the type of person that needs to be with my partner all day, every day. And like my world will never revolve around my partner. Like, of course, that person's going to be a very important, huge part of my life. And I'm going to have times where I will be prioritizing him. But like, for the most part, I'm just not one of those girls that drops everything for someone. And so I know that whoever this person is that I'm going to end up with, like, they're really going to have to just be adding value to my life.
Yeah.
Because I'm already at a point now where it's like, I'm happy with my life. Mm-hmm. I have everything I need.
Yep.
So, you know, and I still have goals that I'm working towards, but like, I don't need someone else in order to achieve those goals.
Right.
And so for me to actually consider being with someone, it's like they really have to just be adding value to my life,
mm-hmm.
and not, you know, stress and anxiety and all these things. Like, I don't think there's any rules to dating. Like, I just, you know,
I think some people have to be a little bit realistic with certain situations, though. Like, I was having this talk with my friends, because like, people get the ick really easy now, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, what if there's this awesome guy, but like, you got the ick with the way he walked? And it's like, really, you can't get past that?
I know.
Like, there's certain things you have to at some point realize that, like, there's more than just like the way this person walks. Like, this person could be literally your soulmate, but you're not even giving them a chance because you're like, ugh.
I know.
Something
that's,
like,
that's the thing. And like, you know, there's also probably things about you that
100%,
you know, like someone else would notice and be like, oh, that gives me the ick.
What are you talking about? I'm perfect. I actually asked Dan what gave him the ick, and he listed like 10 things really fast, and I was like, oh, cool.
No way. Are you comfortable sharing?
Well, one of them was like, leaving your dirty Q-tips out, like, literally gives me the ick. And I'm like, he's like, what was the other one he said that I was literally pissing my pants? He was like, the way you sometimes like walk up the stairs when you get excited. Like, you do this, like, weird, like, shimmy thing.
Oh, my God, I'm
dead. And now I'm, like, hyper aware of it. I'm like, oh, my God, am I doing that? When I, like, get excited, I'm like,
you know?
But I'm like, it doesn't offend me, and it doesn't make me self-conscious because I don't give a fuck because it's, like, my husband. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Ew. Not ew.
I mean, like I remember there's been times, too, where, like, Dan does or says something, and you'll look at me and be like, oh, my God, the ick.
No, literally, Kyla, I'll take a photo of something he's doing and send it to my sister-in-law and be like, the ick, because we both piss our pants. And she's like, there's this one TikTok I saw that was so funny because it was like, you remember the one you sent me? It's like, we're sisters. I'm allowed to talk shit about you, but no one else can.
Yeah.
But this one was like, we're sister-in-laws, whatever. And one of them was like, I'm genuinely concerned how you're able to marry my brother. Because, like, I love you, but there must be something wrong with you. Like, seriously, what's wrong with you? Like, you're marrying my brother? And it's, like, it's so true to think about that.
I know. That's hilarious.
And so I sent that to my sister-in-law. She was laughing because she's, like, literally so true. But he'll do this, like, weird crouch thing where he looks like literally Gollum, like Smeagol from Lord of the Rings. And it gives me the ick every time he does it. And I'll, like, take a photo and send it to Trisha. And I'm, like, the ick.
Oh my God, that's hilarious. That's hilarious.
But like, I know I give him the ick too, so like, it doesn't whatever. Yeah, everyone, but we still gets love each ick. Other
yeah.
And that's the thing, is that like, some people take it too seriously to the point where it's like, you'll think something is like a red flag when it's like really not even a red flag, and you're just like, something that they do is just unattractive to you, but you're literally like,
you people think of it as like, oh, that's a red flag. I feel like girls do this more than guys, though.
100%. Yeah.
I feel like the ick is more common in women, and like, women getting the ick, I mean.
Yeah.
And women thinking of things as like a red flag more so than guys.
Women overthink everything.
Yeah.
Men, no offense if you're a man listening to this, are very just like simple people.
Yeah.
Like, they just, it doesn't take much.
I know.
Not gonna lie.
Yeah.
It's just, there's not much to them. So it's kind of one of those things where, are you really going to pass up an opportunity because someone like went to take a sip out of their straw and missed?
Yeah.
And that gave you the ick.
Yeah.
Like, really? Sometimes
I remember like seeing like like this guy was talking to me and he like had a booger kind of in his nose.
That's happened to me so many times.
And like I couldn't get past it. But like Kyla. There was also other things about him that like genuinely I was like, no, like this wouldn't ever work out.
Okay, okay.
But it was like that on top of it. I was just like, oh my God.
But sometimes you've told me stories where you got the ick and that's a serious ick. Like that's a serious, like I would be like, no.
What do you mean?
Well, I'm not going to say it on the podcast.
But just like you agree with my ick.
Yes.
Yes.
Like I would be like, I can understand why you wouldn't want to be with this person after just like the fact that that ick is enough to just.
I mean, there was someone that I was talking to like years ago.
Do you want to say it?
Yeah.
Okay.
He was like a huge conspiracy theory believer and like, you know, wasn't fully convinced that the earth isn't flat. Or like wasn't fully convinced that we actually ever went to the moon and things like that. And I was like, that gives me the ick because it's like, what kind of mind do you have?
Well, you just know that like you're not going to ever really be able to have those conversations because they think a certain way. And you know that in certain situations, like down the road and scenarios, they might not believe something because it's like, they're against the government or they're against this.
Well, you just have to have the same values and like morals at the end of the day. And I think that for me, I really value people that
are open-minded,
but like not only just open-minded, like when something is like backed up by like science or facts or whatever, it's like they don't always like I know I sound so judgmental because I think that everyone's allowed to have their own opinion.
Oh, yeah.
It's just I know how I am and at the end of the day, if someone's going to believe these things and I know I don't believe these things, like it's, I'm not trying to say like, oh, he's not allowed to like have that opinion, but it's like someone who has opinions like that, it would probably trickle out into like other aspects of life that I would also be like not seeing eye to eye with this person on.
And to you, that's like a ick slash red flag.
Not a red flag. It's just more like, I just know that like this person would never be someone that
I would be compatible with. Yeah. No, I get that. Do you ever, I'm going to ask you kind of a tough question and like you feel free to answer how you want, but do you ever get nervous about ending up alone?
Oh, yeah.
I get this question a lot. And
about me?
No, in general. Like people, if I do a Q&A or something, people will ask like, I'm scared to end up alone. Like I'll get that a lot. And just because I'm married doesn't mean I don't have that same fear.
What the hell? My Siri just started talking. That is so weird. Your phone keeps like going like lighting up. So like you're getting a bunch of notifications.
That's weird.
So maybe that's why. I don't know.
Yeah, because like there's this girl that was popped up on my TikTok page. I guess she's in her 50s and her husband passed away suddenly from like a heart attack. Like he was super healthy guy. And now she has like these kids and she's alone and she's like, oh my God. Like the fact that my kids, like they're all adults living their own life. And I was like finally like getting ready to be with my husband for the rest, you know, and like he's now gone.
Yeah.
And she was talking about that like fear that she had of being alone and grief and this whole big thing. And it made me think like just because you're married doesn't mean you can't one day end up alone. And it's like, what does it mean to be alone? Because will we ever actually be alone? Because I have you.
Well, that's the thing. Like I think that my biggest fear is feeling lonely because also another thing, this is kind of deep, but it kind of goes hand in hand with what we were saying earlier. You could be with someone, so you're not technically alone, but feel 10 times more lonely with the wrong person than if you were to like just not have a partner. So for me, it's not, of course I want to have a partner.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I don't, but for me, my biggest fear is feeling lonely.
Yeah. So it's not even about a partner or not. It's just that feeling. Because like you said,
because you could also like not end up with having like a partner for the rest of your life and be completely content.
Yeah. Like you can be fulfilled in so many other ways. I know people that want to be alone.
Yeah. I mean, there's times even I think about it now. I've been single for so long and I can't imagine myself being with someone. Like that thought kind of scares me.
Yeah.
Not only, I think
it's because you went from like relationship to relationship for so long.
I only did that when I was much younger. Like I had my first ever boyfriend when I had just turned 17.
Mm-hmm.
We dated for like 2.5 years. Then I was seeing someone after that relationship for a few months. And then I dated my next boyfriend for like
4 years.
4 years. But then I was single for 3 years.
Oh, you were single for 3 years after that? I thought it was less than that.
No, it was 3 years pretty much. And then I was in a terrible situation.
For 1 year?
For 1 year. And
then been single since.
And then I've been single since. And it's already been 2.5 years that I've been out of that.
Okay.
So, like, I've been single for so long that, like,
mm-hmm.
it's, like, kind of, and, like, I don't feel like I've ever, like, there was a lot of really good things about, like, my last partners, one of which is, like, one of my really good friends, and I have so much respect for him. He's an amazing person, but, you know, a lot of the people I've dated, like, it's just not someone that, like, they're not people that I would have ever wanted to get back together with.
Right. You ended things for a reason.
Yeah. And so it's, like, as much as, you know, yes, I've been single for a while, but, like, my experiences in relationships, maybe it's not fair to judge my first ever relationship because I was so, so young.
Right.
But he's, like, one of my best friends to this day. I love him to death. He's an amazing person.
Also, like, the whole family loves him. We all, like, secretly wish you guys would always end up together. Like, we've always said that. But I know it's, like, we can't force you guys. But anyways, you're good as friends.
But we, you know, like, there's just, like, the relationships I was in, like, after that, like, I always had, like, I was always with people that weren't, like, for me, really. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know how to explain it.
I think that your experiences have made you now realize that you do not want to settle.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to live that
especially
again.
Especially the last situation I was in was the one that made me realize, like, I really, really cannot settle. I don't ever want to be spoken to or treated in the way that I was. And it was a huge, and I don't even regret it because it really opened my eyes.
Yeah.
Like, I needed to go through something like that to really never end up with someone like that.
Yeah. And, like, not get, I guess, quote unquote, brainwashed in a sense of, like, you were very in a vulnerable state and we're still so unsure of yourself. And I feel like that relationship really, like, made you, like, we keep saying, like, realize things, but it really made you realize what you wanted in life.
I actually made so many changes. I learned more from that relationship than I did in any other relationship.
Wow.
And I would never take it back because, thank God, I learned all of those things. And it's not to say that, like, you know, this, like, there were a lot of things about that relationship that were good.
Yeah.
But the bad was so bad that it was just, and, like, this is also just my experience. Like, I'm not trying to, I've never actually, like, spoken about it.
I know.
Publicly.
I was, like, wondering if you even wanted to.
I'm just more worried, like, I hope that this guy doesn't come after me and, like, try to sue me, because knowing him, he would.
Well, you're not saying his name and you're not saying any details. You're just saying you were in a bad situation and there was bad stuff that happened and it made you learn from it and grow from it.
Yeah. So, and I would never take it back. And, like, I do think that, like, you know, it's really important for me to never hold, like, any resentment or any grudges towards someone, because mm-hmm. that's just baggage on me. And, like, he apologized for some things and, like, he, you know, like, I also am not a perfect human being myself. Like, I also did things and said things that were really not okay.
But you both moved on from it.
But we both moved on from it. And, you know, like, it's just the relationship, that dynamic and being with someone that was so not for me
mm-hmm.
and seeing certain characteristics was really, really eye-opening to me.
Mm-hmm.
And
I think that's why now you're really, like, I don't want to say the word picky because it's that comes with, like, a negative connotation. It's more just,
I have high standards.
Yes. And I think it's good that you have that, because a lot of people feel the stress of, like, oh, I'm getting older and I'm single, I need to be with someone. And then you feel lonely and you get depressed and you get sad and you get in your head and you self-sabotage and blah, blah, blah. And I'm not saying that like you don't experience that, but I'm saying that you're very strong-willed and like, nope, I know what I want. I know what I deserve. And I'm not going to settle for anything less than that.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think everyone should think that way. Yeah. Men included.
Yeah, for sure. And actually, like, I have more respect for men that, or and women, mm-hmm. that are like that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. And I think that it's also very easy, you know, like, I don't know. Like, it always confused me when, like, people enter relationships in, like, their 20s and they end up getting married in their 20s and, like, all these things because I'm like, and I know everyone's different, but I'm like, who I was even like 3 years ago is so different from who I am now. Mm-hmm. And like so different to the point where like the people that I would have been interested in and got, like wanted to be in a relationship with.
Yeah.
Is like so different to now. So I'm like, how could you make a decision like that at such a young age? It boggles my mind.
This is how I see it. I mean, I was 28 when I got married, so it's not like I was like super young. Mm-hmm. But I started dating Daniel when I was 21. I see it as you need to learn how to grow with somebody because in 10 years from now, we're not going to be the same people as we are today.
Yeah.
And maybe in 10 years, the people that you'd be interested in are not the same people you'd be interested in today.
Yeah.
So you need to find someone who is good for you at this period in life that you know you can grow with.
I think that's when it really comes down to what are your beliefs? Like, what are your religious beliefs?
Wait, what does that have to do with... Oh, you're saying for
you. If you want
to
grow with someone.
Oh, yes, 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 yes.
What are your religious beliefs? Because if it's very different, like you're not going to be able to grow together.
No. Unless you're open-minded and you don't care.
Yeah, exactly.
Because mom and dad are different.
Mom and dad are not very religious people.
Okay, so you mean. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like I'm talking about someone who's religious, but like definitely like would not be open to like certain things that are not
right
okay, like part of their religion kind of thing. What do you value? Like, mm-hmm. what are your values and what are your morals at the end of the day? And like, those are just like fundamental, like basic things.
Yep.
And then it's like, okay, do you guys have the same sense of humor? Do you have fun with one another? Are you attracted to one another?
Chemistry,
all those other things. Like, there's actually so much that goes into if a relationship works or not.
What's funny, because, like,
it's not easy.
As we're talking about, I'm like, if I were to meet who Dan was when we first started dating, if I were to meet him now, there's no chance I would even go on a date with him.
Yeah.
But it's, like, at the time of my life, it was someone that I was attracted to.
Yeah.
And then we grew together as people. Yeah. And now, who he is now, I'm like... so attracted to him because he's like a different person.
Yeah,
but so am I.
Exactly.
And in 10 years we'll both be
I'm sure if he met someone like you when you guys first started dating, he probably wouldn't want to date you
exactly
either.
Like, now that's what I'm saying, is that like sometimes I'm not saying this always works, because like maybe eight times out of 10 it might not, but when you get married young, it's tough, because like, yes, you can learn to grow with someone, whatever, but you also haven't really like experienced life.
Not only that, but yeah, no, yeah,
because like Dan exactly. and I were dating, but like I had my own life, he had his own life. Mm-hmm. And then our lives collided at some point, but then we also separated for a little bit to kind of figure shit out, and then also did couples therapy. Like, we have done a lot in order to grow as people individually and also together, and I feel like we've put in the work and it's like done so well for us as a couple, and it makes me feel so confident in my relationship. And just so like, I used to joke all the time with my friends, like how jealous I used to be. Like, I was such a jealous person. Like, mm-hmm. if he'd be talking to another girl or like a girl was flirting with him, whatever, I'd get jealous, even though I knew like he's the last person to ever cheat on me. It would just like still make me feel like self-conscious and like that I wasn't good enough or whatever. And now I'm like, I don't give a fuck. If someone's going to like flirt with him, okay. That's just like, I guess a compliment for me that you think my husband's hot.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I don't really care, because I'm so far in it that I like do not give a shit. And like, he does not get jealous when guys talk to me.
Yeah.
So I think it's a good thing.
I think that's healthy too.
And I think as you grow and when you find your person and you're together, and like obviously it's not the same when you're like in the honeymoon phase, like dating versus like together for 12 years and married with kids.
Yeah.
But it's fun to know that with each decade in your life, you're going to have new experiences. You're going to have new people, like new friendships, new relationships, and be able to grow with people differently.
Yeah.
Like, think about our relationship 5 years ago versus now.
Yeah.
You know?
It was so different.
And it's like, we will just continue to grow together.
Yeah.
And I always say this to people, but your sibling is the longest relationship you will have. Okay, no. Yourself, obviously. Duh. But, like, your sibling, if you guys are...
It's the longest relationship
you'll have. Yeah, if you guys are on talking terms and whatever, like, it is the longest relationship you'll have. So I think it is one of the most important relationships to nurture.
Yeah, exactly.
And for myself, I was just so, like, what is this? Blindsided, tunnel vision, like, my way or the highway, judgmental, like, I think this way and that's the only way I can think. And Kyla, from a young age, has been a lot more just open-minded about things. Like, judgmental about specific things, but then open-minded in the grand scheme of things.
Like, I didn't have as much of a hard time, like, putting myself in someone else's shoes. I think it came down to I was less defensive.
Yeah.
And I was going to say something and I forgot. I was less defensive and I was more, like, less on the victim mentality, I guess, of things. I don't know how to
explain it.
There was something I was going to say and it just completely left my mind.
You weren't confrontational in general. You, like, I'm not saying that it's like a bad thing. Like, that's just your personality.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like, you weren't confrontational.
I mean, I never had a problem confronting you until, like, I knew that, like, okay, if I say anything, it's just going to be, like, a World War III situation.
And it's not going to get through.
But, like, you were my sister, so I never had a heart. Like, I was never scared of being confrontational with you until, like, I got older and I was like, I can't say anything.
Like, there's no point.
There's no point. But, I mean, that's clearly not the case now. But, no, I just, I had more sympathy.
Yes.
That's what I wanted to say. I was more sympathetic, whereas you would think about more about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But you still, I still remember even in those years of you being like...
a bitch.
I didn't want to say it. But during those years, I remember, like, if ever something were to happen to me that was like, I would be crying and I was really hurt. Like, I could always tell by your face that, like, you felt my pain. Like, you really genuinely did not want me to be in pain like that. And, like, the nurturing side of you really came out. Like, the maternal side of you really came out even during those years.
I think I was just so... went so long of feeling, like, unliked, unloved. Not by you or mom and dad, but, like, in my social settings.
Yeah.
I was bullied. People never really liked me. Even my friends, I felt like they never really fully liked me. I always felt like I had to, like, put on a I could never be 100% myself.
Yeah.
Specifically in school.
Yeah.
And then if I was myself, people would call me weird or they make fun of me. And so it really, like, for a long time gave me that victim mentality because I was, like, very scared of, like, saying anything or being anything. And then I would also do the classic thing where I would overthink a situation. Like, I would assume someone was thinking a certain way and make that the reality.
Yeah.
Like, you must be thinking that way.
Yeah.
And it's not even because I would think that way. It's just, like, I would just assume because I had lived previous things.
Yeah.
And would be like, well, you're only thinking this because of X, Y, and Z. And then the person is like, huh?
Like, it's not true.
Yeah. And then I just wouldn't believe it. And I would make it into this big deal.
Yeah. And it's, like, not fair.
Yeah. And they were like, you're genuinely making shit up and you're lying just to, like, be a victim. And I was like, no. I know for a fact you're doing this. And they're like, no, I'm fucking not.
Yeah.
But I would, like, genuinely in my head believe because of my past experiences that they were, like, doing stuff like that. So obviously after years of therapy and, like, learning that about myself, it's helped a lot. Like, I still catch myself doing it sometimes, especially with Dan. I'll, like, say something and he's like, how do you know that's what I'm thinking, Alex? That's not what I'm fucking thinking.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, it has to be what you're thinking. And he's like, well, it's not.
That's self-sabotage.
I know. And it's something that I think for you specifically, like, growing up with someone like me, you were kind of cast aside for so long that it made you, like not want to speak up.
Yeah.
And not, because you're like, really, what the fuck is the point?
Yeah.
There's no getting through to her. And we're just going to go in circles. And it's going to be a fight. And then we're going to cry and whatever. And I remember there was this one point where someone had called me a narcissist. And I remember asking in therapy, am I a narcissist? And they were like, no. And I'm like, but would you be able to tell? Like, could I trick you? And my therapist was like, 100% I'd be able to tell if you were a therapist. Like, I've been doing this now for a very long time.
Yeah.
And she was the one that was explaining to me when I was telling you, like, people can have narcissistic tendencies. Doesn't mean they're a narcissist.
Yeah.
So I remember in that moment thinking like, oh, okay, thank God I'm not a narcissist. And she was like, but why is that like a negative thing? I was like, well, because narcissists are bad. She's like, yeah, they definitely can be because they lack empathy, the whatever, blah, blah, blah. She's like, but it's also like something that they are, if they're aware of, can work on just like any other mental illness.
Yeah.
She's like, right now the stigma, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, okay, but like, I don't really want to be around a narcissist, especially if they're unaware.
Oh yeah, that's,
you know, because it's like, if you're around someone who is, but is aware and is working on things, then like, there's no issue.
Yeah.
Anyways, it was a whole long conversation, and I just felt like, okay, I am the kind of person that gets triggered very easily by random fucking shit that makes no sense. And then I will imagine a scenario in my head that hasn't even happened yet and almost like make it happen, even though I don't want it to happen. It's
a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yes. Yeah. And I remember being like, why do I do this to myself?
Well, when you put out a certain energy in the universe, that's what you're going to attract. So when you're in a healthy headspace and you're happy and you're content or whatever it is, you're just in a good headspace, you're going to start attracting people that
are also
good. And you're going to start weeding out the people that are no longer for you. And, you know, I think that a lot of the time people just have a hard time understanding that, like, you know, it's like, oh, why do I keep getting these, like, you know, like terrible friends, or I keep attracting these guys that don't like want me and whatever. And it's like, because like, and it's not to like say that like it's all your fault and whatever. And it's obviously so much easier said than done, but you're also like accepting certain behaviors, you know, when you're in a good headspace and like, let's say a guy comes into your life and, you know, you're comfortable with who you are. You know what you deserve. You are like emotionally available, whatever. And this guy is just kind of like being hot and cold, wishy-washy and whatever. Like, that's a turnoff right from the get-go. You're going to say goodbye to that person and just never even look back.
Yeah.
Whereas if you're kind of in this like unsure state and you're not like feeling 100% about yourself, then you're going to be putting up with this type of behavior more so than not, because, you know. And the same goes for friends. Like, if you, I mean, sometimes you just naturally grow apart from a friend, from a friendship. And I think for someone to be able to walk away from a friendship, it's because, like, you've gotten to a point where it's like, okay, like, I know my worth. I know what, how I should be treated in a friendship. And that's that. Like, I, this year, went through a friendship breakup from, with someone that I've been friends with since I was, like, 15 years old. And, like, a few years ago, you know, if this would have happened to me, I would have been completely devastated. But this time around, I'm not saying it was like, oh, it's so easy, and I just like wasn't affected at all. But, you know, certain things were said to me that
made it easier for that, you
to me, I was just like, it was just so eye opening where I was like, this person is not a friend.
Yeah.
And I didn't even think twice about it. And like, to this day, I'm like, I made the right decision.
Yeah.
I don't regret it for one second. And I'm not saying that it's easy, but, you know, sometimes you just need to not put up with certain behaviors. You just need to fucking close the door.
Like, it's crazy because I feel like literally 5 years ago, you would have never been able to do that.
I know.
Like, you've come so far.
But 5 years ago, I was also in, you know, like my sense of worthiness and like my insecurities. Like, you know, I just wasn't in the headspace that I'm at now.
Yeah.
And so, you know, like, I'm not saying I'm perfect. Like, there's definitely moments that I have that, you know, I'm still human at the end of the day. But we
all are imperfect.
Yeah.
And it's just about finding the person that who you can be imperfect with without judgment and who they can be imperfect with you without judgment, and it just works.
Yeah.
And as long as you know that no relationship is perfect, like, I want people that are listening to this right now to really think, like, if you're in a relationship, your partner is not perfect. You are aware of that.
Yeah.
And you know you're not perfect. Yeah. But if you're single and you're looking for that perfect person, I don't want to sound bad to say, like, they don't exist. But, like,
they don't.
No, like, a perfect person won't exist, but the perfect person for you does.
Yeah, exactly. And even the perfect person for you is not going to be perfect in every single way.
It's more about, like, what you can tolerate. You just need
to be realistic. Yeah, mm-hmm. Are you compatibly fucked up?
But you know what's so funny? I remember my therapist saying this to Dan and I, because there was something that he was talking about, like, about, I don't remember if it was our family or his family, how he was just saying something that, like, upset him. And she was like, okay, but what's the price? What is the price to sit at the dinner table? He was like, huh? She's like, what is the price for the ticket to sit at the dinner table? Like, are you going to constantly nitpick every little thing that, like, bothers you about, like, a certain family member or a certain person in the room?
Mm-hmm.
Think about what it costs, right? What are you going to give up if you keep wanting people to be perfect and they can't? And, like, you have to accept that.
Yeah.
So, like, really, what does it cost? And
he's just hurting himself at the end of the day.
Right. But it's because of his past experiences and his life and his upbringing and his current, like, his whole, like, when you are dealing with someone, you're also dealing with their past selves, right? Yeah. It's not just who they are presently.
Yeah.
And so certain things can be triggers to someone that aren't triggers to you, and you're like, the fuck?
Yeah.
And you don't even realize it. And so that was a really eye-opening conversation for him, because he was like, oh, I'm really being nitpicky.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, to him, something that's so simple is not simple to a lot of other people.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like what you were saying to me earlier, how it's, like, hard for you to realize that people think differently than you.
Yeah. Dan's, but it's like, I know that, but when it really comes down to it, it's like really believing.
Yeah.
Like, if let's say I'm going through something and I'm talking to someone and they're giving me reassurance and all this stuff, it's like, in my mind, I always think of it as like, yeah, but of course this person's telling me this, like, they want to make me feel better.
Yeah. But it's not, maybe they're just telling it to you because they really believe it.
Yeah.
And I know that Dan has the same issues. He, like, has a really hard time thinking that people think differently than him in a lot of ways. And it's like, to him, it's something that's so, like, obvious and common sense.
Yeah.
Is not to somebody else.
Yeah.
And even for me, like, the two of us, sometimes we'll get into a little bit of a bicker, and he's like, I don't understand. Like, it's just so simple. And I'm like, to you, not to me.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's literally hard for him to see that.
Yeah.
And so that's why I really do think therapy is so important, if you can afford it. Like, I know it's fucking expensive, guys, but, like, it did wonders for me. I'm such a big advocate for therapy.
Yeah, I'm such a huge advocate for therapy.
Like, if you're gonna spend money to go to a gym or on, like, a Pilates monthly subscription, you can spend the money on a therapist.
Yeah, I 1000% could not agree more.
But anyways, I hope you guys enjoy this episode. Please wish Kyla a nice happy birthday. Mm-hmm. We will be in LA by the time you're listening to this, if you're listening to it on the day that it came out. We'll be in LA. We're going to be in the sunshine. We're going to be soaking up all the sun. We're going to go to Erewhon. We're going to do taste tests and some fun TikToks.
Yes.
And go for a birthday dinner.
Wait.
It's going to be so fun. And we'll have a whole recap episode when we come home. But we love you guys.
Love you guys. And thanks for listening.
Bye.
Bye.